So I will go ahead and get started. I hope you are all on the first page of the presentation, Treatment Technologies, the Site Cleanup Annual Status Report. Again, my name is Carlos Pachon. I'm with EPA's Office of Superfund Remediation and Technology Innovation. I've been working on this report over the last year or so, and I also worked on previous editions from the 9th edition on. This is not really an annual report. It's actually more of a biannual report, but it does report out information on an annual basis. If we can go to slide 2, please. I'll give you a little bit of background on where we come from, Office of Superfund Remediation and Technology Innovation. One of our functions here is a Superfund Technology Innovation Program. We have several venues to work with different audiences, and I've noticed in registration that we have some representation from several of these audiences, including technology developers, companies, people that are out there developing innovative approaches to deal with contaminated sites. There are also implementers or practitioners, companies that actually do cleanups and are interested in knowing what is the state of the practice in this country across cleanup programs. And while we can't provide information on all of those, we do have, fortunately, a good bit of information on what is being done in the Superfund program. So we compile it, and this is one of the products of that effort. Of course, we also inform ourselves as regulators and implementers of Superfund program, our remedial project managers, our on-scene coordinators, and we also work with state delegated programs. Example, that second bullet, we work with ITRC. That's been a very successful collaboration, as those of you who participate in the internet seminars have probably noticed that, for example, just in this area, they deliver about 50% of the seminars that we provide through CLUIN. We also work with other federal partners, such as the Federal Remediation Technologies Roundtable. There's actually an upcoming meeting now in November. And we share experiences with them and document the cost of performance. Is one of the big efforts we've done in the past of innovative technologies to make that information available to this audience, as I mentioned earlier. Of course, we also work with our own folks, as I mentioned, on-scene coordinators, RPMs, remedial project managers, and others to increase the acceptance of innovative options by these parties, as well as consulting engineering firms and purchasers of the technologies and services. Basically, documenting cost and performance, benchmarking the state of the practice is all information that can add confidence and clarify doubts, both technical and policy-wise, about the acceptance of innovative options, both technologies and strategies. We develop policy tools that foster acceptance of innovative technologies. Sometimes it's as simple as interpreting guidance, but often that's a necessary component of advancing innovation. And then we disseminate information through technical bulletins, through case studies, and much of the work we do, we provide access to it through CLUIN.org, and I'm sure many of you are familiar with it since you are on this seminar. If we can go to the next slide, please, slide number 3. The objectives of this report, this report focuses on Superfund's remedial program. As many of you know, there's a remedial and a removal component to Superfund. The removal, the main difference is in funding levels and time. A removal is more time critical, usually in cleanups under $2 million. We don't have as extensive information on those decisions, although we do have other means of course, we do track what's going on, but it's hard to determine exactly what remedies have been selected across the program. For the remedial program, we do have very good data, relatively good data, definitely better than for other programs, and that is the purpose of the report, is to document the selection and implementation of remedies in Superfund. So as I mentioned before, the data serves as a benchmark of the state of the practice and informs program management and supports remedy evaluations for future decisions. In addition to tracking what remedy decisions are made, and we'll get into details of what that implies, We also follow up with the status of those remedies once they are selected, designed, built, operated, and completed. So contaminants, techniques, treatment components, et cetera, those are some examples of the information we track for as-built remedies, moving beyond just what has been selected. Quite often there are changes. We select a remedy. There might be alternative remedy considered. As a pilot is put in place, we might decide to go with the alternative. So remedies do change. And through this report, we track what is actually built. And the original purpose of the report was to, and we continue to do that, is to highlight innovative remediation technology applications. So it's not necessarily a new technology, it's a new use or new approach in implementing a technology. If we can go to slide 4, please. As far as the annual status report background, this is the 12th edition. It has record of decision data, sorry for the acronym without spelling it out, through 2005, and project status information through November of 2006. So while we are in 2007, the information collection effort is significant, and we need to close that off before we start compiling and writing the report. And those are the snapshot dates, basically, for decisions and for project status. For the 12th edition, the first edition was produced in 1991, and the last one was released in February of 2004. The information in the report comes from multiple sources. Historically, we would actually call remedial project managers and or their consulting engineering firms working on the sites, but that was a very costly process and sometimes resulted in conflicting information. And that was before the advent of the Internet. Now, with the Internet, we have many other sources of information, and with the streamlining of operations here in headquarters, we have good sources of information through the records of decisions themselves, which we always had, circlists, five-year reviews, and site-specific documents and websites. Many of the regions have excellent websites now, built for citizens to have access to information of what is going on at sites in their neighborhood. We also use those sites to collect some of the information that we use in this report. What is covered in the annual status report? There's information on 1,536 national priority list sites. At those sites, at the date of the report, we have 2,976 records of decision, and there were 1,915 treatment projects. Again, the focus of this report is on treatment remedies. We do track containment decisions, but we don't go beyond that. Once it's selected, we just document it as selected. We don't go back and find out when it's been, whether it's been built, et cetera. With the exception of this year, we've done a small analysis of a subset of containment decisions, and we'll talk a little bit more about those. If we could go to the next slide, please, slide number 5. Allow me to explain when we talk about RODs, sites, well, sites, RODs, records of decision, operable units, and treatment projects. This slide is intended to clarify, this is EPA talk, and there's a reason for having it, but instead of explaining the reason, let me just tell you how it works. The box is an example of a Superfund site, an MPL site. This is a very large one and has several operable units. And this may not be used to many of you, but please bear with me while I wrap it up. This site, for example, has three operable units. At operable unit 2, we have no rod. At operable unit 3, there is a rod that has soil vapor extraction, and that project is completed. So this site as a whole had a treatment remedy for soil, so this would be a treatment site. We'd consider this site to have treatment. Rod number 2, and the treatment component is completed. At OU number 1, there's a previous rod. Rod number 2, there's a landfill cap and an M&A. This operable unit does not have a source control treatment, but it does have M&A, groundwater treatment. So as I mentioned before, the report of the focus of the report is on sites, rods, and projects, decisions made. We cover source control and groundwater. That's the breakup, how we look at remedies. We focus divide between treatment and containment. We focus on innovative technologies. And as I mentioned earlier, we only cover remedial actions, not removals. We could go to slide number 6, please. This is just to highlight the Superfund program is very large. I mentioned earlier there are 1,500 sites on the MPL. Many of the sites have multiple rods. On the left-hand side of this column, you have a number of sites and on the right-hand side, you have the number of rods or med rod amendments for each of those sites. As you can see, while a majority of the sites do have only one rod there are quite a few towards the bottom. There are 25 sites that have 10 to 18 records of decision. Those tend to be federal facilities, larger sites of that nature, with multiple OUs. Looking at a quick overview of the remedies at the Superfund sites, and comparing the 11th edition to the 12th edition. On the left-hand side, that table there, we have, for source control, that's the SC, we have treatment of a source. We've gone from 541 sites with treatment to 605. On containment in this containment or off-site disposal, we've gone from 576 to 632. If you go to the opposite side, groundwater, the groundwater table, pump and treat, which is, as we'll see, by far the most common remedy for groundwater treatment, we've gone from 713 to 728. We actually did a lot of polishing of the data in there. Some of them, we went back and looked at historical records. We did some corrections. We had to add and drop some remedies that were considered pump and treat, but were not really so. So while there may have been more groundwater pump and treat remedies selected over the last few years, 3 years that this report covers, there was some netting out effect from historical records. Now, for in-situ treatment of groundwater, there's definitely where we see with the largest jump. We've gone from 135 in-situ treatments for groundwater to 229 treatment projects in the Superfund program. And in this presentation, we'll cover those in some more detail. A summary of overall findings, and again, we'll go to overall, then we'll go to source control, then we'll go to groundwater. Overall, on the MPL, those 1,536 sites, you know, 62% have some form of treatment. 28% have treatment of both source and groundwater. And source can be defined at very basic terms as soil and NAPL. So 28% of sites have both source and groundwater treatment. And 27% of the sites have containment as, quote-unquote, the most aggressive remedy. That is something beyond institutional controls, for example. We're actually doing some containment. And only 11% of the sites have no remedy decision yet at the time we closed data collection. So this was in fall of 2005. Regarding records of decision, there are 2,976 records of decision and rod amendments. In the period of 2002 to 2005, which this report covers, we signed about 100, and actually I would correct that. I'd say it's more like 120 records of decision per year. And in 2005, 55% of the records of decision had some form of treatment in their remedy. And the percentage of multimedia rods is steady at about 32%. Those are rods where we select treatment component for both source control and groundwater in one record of decision. And looking at specific remedies, there are, as I mentioned earlier, 1,915 treatment projects at MPL sites. Status varies from selection to completed. And of these projects, 977 are source control treatment and 938 are groundwater treatment. If we can go to slide 10, please. that was now we'll go through some of the information we just described verbally with a figure. This is the first one, which is looking at the MPL sites, the breakout between treatment, containment, and decision. This is a hierarchical slide. So if there's treatment on that site is considered to have treatment, as we described earlier. Based on that breakout, we have treatment at 63% of Superfund MPL sites. Of those, source control only at 178, a combination of source and groundwater, so sites which, where we're treating both source and groundwater, 28%, that's 427 sites. And then treating groundwater only, that's the blue section at the bottom, that is at 23% or 300 of sites or 357 projects. As far as containment and other actions, we have that at 24%. The pink color is containment or off-site disposal. And again, off-site disposal may have a treatment component, but we don't track that. So since we don't track it, we don't consider it treatment. We just consider that a containment or off-site disposal of a source. Non-treatment groundwater remedy, 47 at 3%. And no action, no further action, 6%. And sites with no remedy decision, there are 204. I think this is generally an indication that the program is maturing and there are fewer and fewer sites on the MPL, even as we continue to add sites that have no remedy decision. If we could go to slide 10, please. Slide 10 is a breakout of records of decision by remedy, and this is for both source control and groundwater. It combines them both. And it tells us which ones had treatment, M&A, which would be for groundwater mostly, containment, or other remedies. As we can see, the light blue at the top of the stack, those are remedies with treatment. In general, we can say that the number of records of decision peaked in the mid-1990s, and in the last few years, as I mentioned earlier, it seems to have settled out at about 100 to 120 records of decision per year. If we could go to slide 11. This is those same records of decision, but looking at them from a different angle, and that is, what media are we treating with those records of decision? I think one thing to highlight is in the center, the orange slashed components of the bars, those are mixed. Those are rods that have both source control and groundwater components, and it seems to be pretty consistent, the distribution over time. So there are no real patterns here, and even the distribution between groundwater and source control seems to be pretty consistent. If we could go to slide 12, these are the summary of the findings for source control. Find that in the report that there are 1,055 sites, that is 69% of sites on Superfund, have a source control remedy. And 1,994 rods include a source control remedy. 1,100 of those have a treatment project. You can also say that the selection of treatment and containment rods for source control tracks pretty closely. We're at about 45% of records of decision recently have a source control remedy and 45% have a containment remedy. One of the things that is definitely continuing, and we saw this in earlier reports, earlier editions of the report, is a continued increase in the selection of in-situ treatment. We'll take a closer look at what those remedies are, but we know that 75% of source control treatment rods in 2005 were in situ. That's quite significant. Most common in situ remedies are soil vapor extraction, multi-phase extraction, and bioremediation. As far as ex situ remedies, the most common ones are silicification and stabilization, thermal desorption, and bioremediation. And in general, as far as the status of the remedies, there is continued evidence of the maturing status of of treatment projects, and data is provided in the report on that. Both for in situ and ex situ, we see that there are more projects that are operational or completed, even as we add more to the totals, more projects. In general, they are at a more advanced stage of implementation. If we could go to slide 13. This is a historical look at trends in source control rods. For the 1,994 rods, records of decision, that have a source control remedy, we can see that there was early on in the program, most of the remedies were containment remedies, but soon treatment started to pick up as we gained experience and expanded the suite of remedy options to treat contaminants. And there was a steady state there in the mid-1990s. And then we started to see a decrease in treatment. We've not been able to attribute that to anything. Maybe that's not necessary. But since 1997, treatment and containment have been in the more or less in the 40 to 50% range. If we could go to slide 14, please. This is all the source control treatment projects that have been selected through 2005 are represented in this pie, chart. So there are 977 projects that were selected through records of decision, that is in the remedial program, and we've broken it out between in situ and ex situ. On the right-hand side, you can see since the beginning of the program, in situ technologies represent 47% of the remedies selected. Remember that in 2005, for source control, 74% of the remedies were in situ. So we're seeing a trend towards in situ, although historically, ex situ treatment technologies were the most common. So as far as in situ, soil vapor extraction continues to be the dominating remedy. We have bioremediation is the second most common, followed by multi-phase extraction, 46 projects, and in-situ thermal treatment towards the bottom. While there are only 14 of those, 5 of them have been selected in the last couple of years. So that's definitely one of the technologies that we're seeing more of. As far as ex-situ technologies, solidification and stabilization is the largest. Incineration is the second largest. There are 105 incineration projects historically in the Superfund program, but in the last few years, there have only been, I believe it's 3 new incineration projects, and we'll actually take a look at that now. Thermal desorption is the third largest ex situ technology, followed by bioremediation and on-site incineration. If we could go to slide 15, please. This is that same chart, but looking only at most recent, the years covered in the 12th edition of the annual status report. There are 126 treatment projects that were selected in 2002 to 2005. On the right-hand side, we can see that in-situ technologies, or 76 of those were selected. The soil vapor extraction continues to be the most common in-situ treatment technology, followed by multi-phase extraction and chemical treatment. There continues to be some in-situ solidification stabilization and bioremediation, which I found surprising. There are only 5 new bioremediation projects. And then, as I mentioned, in-situ thermal treatment, there are actually as many in-situ thermals as there were bioremediation in-situ treatment technologies selected in these last 3 years in the Superfund program. As far as ex-situ, it looks very similar to what we saw earlier, with the exception that there are only, as I mentioned, 3 incineration projects selected, and those were all off-site. Thermal desorption continues to be a big player, as well as ex-situ bioremediation. If you could go to slide 16, please. this we pointed out earlier, continuing trend in the selection of in-situ technologies for source control. So looking at all technologies that are selected for source control and looking at in-situ versus ex-situ, we can see that more and more source control treatment technologies are in-situ. And they were up at 78% in 2005, meaning that, 22% of the technologies selected were ex-situ in 2005. If we could go to slide 17, please. This table is extracted directly from the annual status report, as those of you who have seen it will recognize by the blue and white colors. Not going to go through this with detail, but I just want to point out the type of information on the implementation of projects that is available. This information is for past reports is available online on the annual status report search system. We're currently in the process of uploading the data from the 12th edition into the database. It's not available yet. We hope to have it there by December. But this is the kind of data that you will be able to collect or to research through that system. That is, look at for different types of contaminants, what technologies are we using to treat them, or for each type of technology, what contaminants are being treated. Information is provided on the site, on the status of the report of the technology, and other information with details of that nature through the ASR search system. But in general, you can see here there are 255, for example, soil vapor extraction projects, and BTEX and halogenated volatile organic compounds are the most common contaminants being treated by soil vapor extraction in the Superfund program. That's just an illustration of what information is contained in the ASR and can be accessed through the search system. Okay, we could go to slide 18, please. This is information on the status of source control treatment projects. As I mentioned earlier, there is a general trend towards a more mature status of the projects. There are two sets of columns here, in-situ remedies and ex-situ remedies, and 3 years for each one of those. So on the left-hand side of this chart are the in-situ remedies. And there, as we can see, in the year 2000, there were 314 projects. 49% of them were operational. 23% of them were completed. In 2006, we actually have 462 in-situ source control treatment projects in Superfund. And 41% are operational and 39% have been completed. So again, even as we add treatment projects, the overall status is more mature. And the same with the ex-situ projects. These tend to have a shorter turnaround, so not surprisingly, for the year 2006, for 515 ex-situ treatment projects, we have 77 were already completed. Okay, we could go to slide 19, please. I just wanted to include this as an illustration of what we had in the MPL back in 1991 when the first report was released. I actually pulled this off a PDF. And by the way, I did want to mention that we have every report from the first through the 12th edition available on fluent.org/ASR, and you do have that URL at the end of this presentation. You can see them all in PDF format. And I want to mention that back then, for example, vacuum, what we called vacuum extraction, was considered innovative. We don't consider soil vapor extraction to be innovative anymore. It's almost an off-the-shelf technology, although there are innovations in how it's implemented. The same with thermal desorption. Back then, there were only 13 thermal desorption projects. And on the left-hand side, as you can see, solidification stabilization and on-site incineration were, you know, the most common remedies. So things have changed. A lot of new options have come online, and they are being used in the Superfund program. I guess we can say we're making full use of the remedy toolbox that's available to us. We could go to slide 20, please. That's that same figure, but today. And it's changed significantly, mainly as I mentioned earlier on the previous slide. Salt vapor extraction, those no longer considered innovative, neither is thermal desorption. On the innovative side, we have continue to consider bioremediation innovative because there are so many different options for implementing a bioremediation project. There's still a lot of innovation taking place there. Same with multi-phase extraction, chemical treatment, in situ thermal treatment as well. Okay, we can go to slide 21, please. By the way, I want to offer that we can take questions. We will be here for you at the end of the presentation. Matt Charsky, as I mentioned, and Linda Fiedler and myself, if you have any questions. For those of you on the phone, feel free to ask them now as well. And on the internet, unfortunately I didn't bring up the screen, so you're gonna have to excuse me for a minute. I'm gonna have to bring up that the screen with the internet questions, or maybe one of my colleagues can do that on another computer and ask those for me. Okay, the summary of groundwater control findings. So now we're shifting from source control to groundwater. There are 1,072 sites on the MPL that have a groundwater remedy. At those sites, there are 1,509 records of decision that have a groundwater remedy. 958 of those records of decision include a pump and treat, and 195 include an in-situ treatment of groundwater. As mentioned earlier, a new pattern that emerged back in 1997 when it comes to groundwater remedies is holding. Mainly that as with source control, in-situ treatment continues to climb. We have more and more in-situ treatment groundwater remedies. The mix of groundwater remedy and rods has stabilized with pump and treat, in-situ technologies, and M&A all in the 30 to 40% range. And finally, institutional controls and other quote-unquote remedies are currently being selected in over 90% of groundwater records of decision. So that's in a snapshot, that is what we are seeing out there now. When it comes to specific technologies, bioremediation and chemical treatment have recently eclipsed air sparging as the top in-situ remedies, and 45% of sites, of MPO sites, with groundwater as the sole groundwater treatment remedy also have a source control remedy. Now, we can't say that that is a source and plume relationship, but it certainly is an indication that that is taking place. If we could go to slide 22, we're looking at the groundwater remedies through fiscal year 2005. On the right-hand side in light blue, those are pump and treat only remedies. It's 55% of the MPL sites that have groundwater remedies have treatment. Pump and treat is the only remedy. Historically, that is a fact. Now, in combination with others, pump and treat with M&A, we have 70 projects at 8% of groundwater remedies. Pump and treat and in situ combined, there are 115 of those projects. In situ as the sole remedy, only 38. And then combination of all three, pump and treat, in situ, and M&A, there are 58 projects. And finally, for in situ and M&A, 2% and M&A only, there are 11%, which is, I think, is suggestive. There are some concerns that we're over-utilizing M&A, but looking at this chart and seeing that only 11% of those M&A remedies are sole remedy, this is an indication that may not be as much of a concern as we thought. If we can go to slide 23, this is similar to the one for source control, except focusing on groundwater records of decision. As you can see, in the early years, in the 1980s, late 80s, and early 90s, pump and treat was definitely by far the most common groundwater remedy. But it started to decline, and as I mentioned earlier, it stabilized off at about 30 to 40%. Groundwater in-situ remedies is the pink purplish line that you can see climbing up there from very low and early in the program to where it is today. I believe the last year was 30. I don't have that. I can't read that number. I believe it was 30%. We actually have that figure, that exact figure elsewhere. And then M&A is a yellow line. It peaked in 1998, and that at that time, EPA produced some new guidance on the three lines of evidence. There was a little bit of rethinking of what an M&A remedy is, and once we had clarified that, we're seeing it climb back up, and in 2005, it was the most common remedy for groundwater. So if we can go to slide 24. As with source control, we are definitely seeing an increasing trend in the frequency of in-situ groundwater remedies, and 31 is the number I was looking for. In 2005, 31% of in-situ treatment for groundwater treatment remedies were in-situ. You could go to slide 25, please. This is something, the status of pump and treat projects is a bit of information we're particularly interested in because there are so many of them out there. Currently, there are 521 operational pump and treat projects in the Superfund program. 73 have been shut down for multiple reasons, but 73 were shut down. 107 are in pre-design, and this figure of design completed being installed is a very short window, so while not that relevant, at the time of the project, there were 24 of those. So if we could go to slide 26, please. This is, as I indicated earlier, for source control, the same kind of information is available for groundwater remedies, that is, what contaminants are being treated with the different technologies. Here we have that broken out with the top six treatment technologies for groundwater, and across the bottom, contaminants broken up into the major groups. So we see, for example, towards the right, the most halogenated volatiles are the most commonly treated contaminant in groundwater, and the most common technology for halogenated volatiles in groundwater was air sparging. There were 53 air sparging projects to treat halogenated volatiles in groundwater. And the second most common is, if I recall right, fire remediation. Yes, for that specific group. As you see, metals and metalloids, we do not see too many options there, too many projects treating metals in groundwater. And again, this information is available in the ASR search system, which the new data will be available. We're hoping to have it available by December. Again, similar to the treatment technology projects, this is the status of source control. This is the status of groundwater treatment projects. 29% are in pre-design, 7% are in design, complete or being installed, 47% are operational, and 80% are completed. In general, that's something we do find, and that, as can be expected, in-situ treatment projects tend to have a longer operating time than ex-situ. And for in-situ groundwater, this is definitely the case. And as I mentioned earlier, air sparging in the early 2000s, earlier in this decade, it was by far the most commonly selected technology. It's been overtaken now by bioremediation and chemical treatment. As you can see, there are 69 bioremediation and 38 chemical treatment projects in Superfund, for a total of 252 in-situ groundwater treatment projects. If we can go to slide 28, and I'm only going to touch on this briefly. As I mentioned at the beginning of the presentation, the annual status report, for the first time, we took a detailed look at a subset of containment remedies at fund lead sites, that is where EPA has paid for the cleanup, because we generally have better information at those projects, at those sites. We looked at those projects as a representation of the universe of records of decision selecting containment remedies. But overall, this we do know, across all containment remedies, great majority of them are caps. Vertical engineer barriers are the second most common type of containment remedy. And just to mention that the information the analysis of these containment remedies is provided in the ASR. So this is the state of the practice in the Superfund program. At the same time, our program has funded the National Research Council to take a look at the state of the science in containment remedies, and we'll be putting those two together to see where there might be opportunities for improvement in the design, construction, and operation of containment remedies. So, concluding points, we can say there's a solid use of treatment remedies at Superfund sites. Across the program, we're making full use of the remedy toolbox, that is both for source control and groundwater, using treatment and containment, ex situ and in situ, definitely making full use of the remedy options available. As we mentioned, the program continues to mature. There are fewer sites with no remedies. The implementation status of selected remedies is further along. There are more completed and operational remedies, and fewer are in design. And innovative technologies continue to gain ground. In fact, are becoming mainstream, such as we saw with soil vapor extraction and thermal desorption, and actually bioremediation is probably there as well. Also, the prevalence of in-situ treatment technologies suggests that we continue to focus, and we have been doing that, on innovations and in-situ performance monitoring. Specific to pump and treat, 75% of pump and treat projects are operational. So as I state here, we'll hold a course on remedial system evaluation, capture zone analysis, and other means of optimizing the design and operation of that large number of pump and treat remedies and the future ones that may be selected, designed, and constructed down the road. So with that, I thank you for participating, and we're now available to take questions. Let me first invite questions over the phone while I try to toggle over to the screen that has internet questions, any questions that might have come in through the internet. So please, are there any questions on the phone line? No questions from the phone participants?
Hi, my name is Hassan Vekili. I wanted to know if we want to get a copy or some information on the specific design of any of these technologies that you have. Are those available, or are those basically done by consultants and sort of they don't have the information for people to look at it?
That's a good question. They are generally available through the consultants. We look at the record of decision, which will describe in, you know, varying levels of detail what the components of a treatment project are going to be, but we don't have the actual design of the remedy. However, there is information historically on treatment projects that have been selected through the cost and performance case studies that we've documented with our federal partners, and those are available at www.frtr.gov. There's a lot of information there actually on a majority of the treatment technologies that we're discussing here. There are cost and performance information that include detailed design information.
So that was FRTRGOV?
Yes, FRTR.gov. Okay. That's Federal Remediation Technologies Account Table.gov. FRTR.gov.
Thank you, sir.
Certainly. Let me ask for some help. Linda, do you know where the questions are? David, excuse me. David, are you on the line? Of EMS? I think I found it. Okay. Any other questions from phone participants? I don't see any, Linda, do you? For those of you on the internet, if you do have a question, those of you participating by simulcast, there's a question button at the top of the screen. Click on that button and you'll get the dialog box, which will submit any questions you may have. anything you guys want.
This is Linda. I would add that at that FRTR.gov site, there's a nice compilation of technology assessment reports. And these are reports that actually compile information, a lot of cost performance information over numerous projects, and oftentimes tries to reduce that information and do an assessment of what the status of the technology is. And that can be very useful as well. That's looking at the individual case studies for cost and performance. And that is another link on the FRTR.gov website.
Okay, I think with that, we don't have any further questions. And it's not only questions. If there's any topic that you want to discuss on contents of the report, remedy selection implementation, feel free to ask him at this point. Yeah. Okay. Well, with that, we'll sign off. We thank you for joining us. Thanks for participating. Please do fill out the evaluation form. And again, at the end, in the additional resources, we did provide a link to the FRTR website. There is a link to the treatment technologies focus, which has detailed information on many of the technologies we have just described. And, of course, there's a link to the annual status report online. Again, thank you very much on behalf of the three of us, and we look forward to having you on future seminars. Bye-bye.